Well, economists got it wrong big time. The May jobs report, which was expected to be bleak, actually showed 2.5 million jobs added and the unemployment rate dropping to 13.3%. And that was great news, of course, for the markets.
A surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
So what can we expect from the markets as we head into June?
Anytime we can play a clip from Star Wars. Right now, we're talking live with day trader friend of the program, Jay Ratliff. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, I'm all smiles as well. Good morning.
You know, we were on the air when that jobs report came out and jaws dropped to the floor. So what should we read out of that? And what were the experts? Why were they so wrong, do you think?
Well, it was a matter of April. They were trying to calculate how many jobs were going to be lost. And what they really weren't predicting was, okay, you know, when we start seeing the restaurants starting to fire things back up and all, that could actually shift things closer to break even. But boy, we went well past that, and it caught everybody off guard. And, you know, Wall Street doesn't like uncertainty or surprises, but we'll take good surprises. And with the gains we had on Friday and those we had on yesterday, even though the Dow's down about 300 points in pre-market right now, but where the market closed yesterday, we're only 7% away from that all-time high of the 29.5 that we had, 29,568 from a few months ago. So the idea that we have made that much territory back up that quickly is certainly a significant surprise. And, of course, all that jobs report that we had for the month of May does is make the one for June that we will get early in July that much more critical, because now what's going to happen? Are we going to see more jobs added? We're going to see a loss? We'll have to wait to see how the month goes to kind of dictate how things are going to be going.
Yeah.
One thing's for sure, people that thought about selling in May and going away, they kind of missed out on some of this recent surge that we've seen.
You are always exuberant and positive, but you've also cautioned us about the roller coaster ride. But I'll back it up a step. It seems like now that the PPP, and it was kind of rolled out a bit clunky like some of the other things, but that might have been a good backstop too. And it seemed like it has kept people afloat to allow people to rehire, because the incentive is saying, I'll give you this money if you rehire some of the workforce. And that seems to have worked.
It has. And you know, I'm not a big fan of the Fed. We've discussed that for, you know, a decade at this point in time. But of late, with the moves that the Fed's been making to try to assist people as much as possible from a business standpoint, to try to give the struggling businesses as much as they need, especially as the state ordered them to close, that has helped soften the blow a bit. Of course, we don't know what the long-term ramifications are going to be. But, you know, again, the optimism is at an all-time high that's going on right now. The question I'm getting a lot is, you know, are the riots affecting the market at all? And not really, as far as any adverse thing, except if you happen to own, shares of Ruger or Smith & Wesson, those stocks are up, you know, 10-15% over the last week for all the obvious reasons, as people, you know, flock for, you know, some sort of personal protection there. But, you know, at this point in time, there seems to be much more optimism than fear. And, of course, you always get a little concerned when that happens, because you don't want Wall Street to get overconfident. Because that's when you kind of get slammed from, off the side. But, hey, right now, everything's firing on all cylinders.
Jay, watching the markets right now, one of the things that's interesting is that some of the sectors that were leading the decline are now leading the advance, and specifically airline stocks.
You know, Boeing and all the other airline stocks are up significantly. We talked probably a month ago about how the airline stocks were suffering, and how if you were interested in it, you could look at the exchange-traded fund that's JETS, J-E-T-S. It was trading around $12 a share or so. And we've gotten some very nice emails from individuals that took advantage of that, because it's now up, I think, 75% over $20 a share as that and all the other airline stocks have come in. Of course, United Airlines stating that they're going to reinstate service to 150 Canadian and U.S. markets. You saw the news for American Airlines also on Friday that they are restoring 50 or 55% of their domestic schedule in the month of July, is sending the message that, hey, we're seeing more and more people return to travel. But you keep in mind that the TSA told us, I think it was 441,000 plus people were screened on Sunday. That sounds like a lot, but a year ago that day was 2.7 million. So a lot of exuberance on the airline side of things for sure, but Pat, we certainly have a long way to go.
I remember you told us to buy American Airlines stock last year because you thought it was undervalued. There you go.
You know, and then when it dipped, I tell you, when it was down to $8 a share in April, and it was up over, I think, 21 yesterday. It's trailed back to 18 now. But, you know, when people are looking at in the moment, you never want to, it's tough to make that call. But if you identify a ridiculously low price on a stock now, once it gets there, take the emotion out of the way, you know to buy it. The problem is if you wait and you just keep watching, you're convinced it's just going to keep going lower and lower and lower, and we end up watching instead of acting, and that's one of the reasons we tend to miss out. I used United and Delta for some impressive gains because, when those things dropped, even if they continue to drop, they're going to come back up eventually.
And you're a guy who knows the airline industry. Jay Ratliff, thanks so much. Daytradefund.com, his website.